Amen. Hebrews chapter 10, beginning verse 35. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which has great recompense of reward. For you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come and will not tarry. Amen. Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. This morning, I want to start out the year with a message entitled, A Living Faith. A Living Faith. There's no place better to start this new year than to start in faith, to start walking in faith. How many of you agree with that this morning? Amen. Christianity, we know, is defined as a religion. Now, religion is basically a set of beliefs that describe the cause and the purpose of the universe, life, people, the destiny of people. It's all defined by a specific religion, especially in relation to God or some other supernatural being. So Christianity obviously has a set of beliefs that is formulated into creeds and statements of faith that are then agreed upon by the majority of the people who follow it. So the definition of Christianity is those who follow a certain set of creeds or beliefs. And these creeds help not only define what is considered a correct belief, but it also sets Christianity apart from every other religion. These creeds or these statements of faith, these statements of belief tell us this is what we believe as Christians, and obviously it would be different than what Buddhists believe or Muslims believe and so forth and so on. These beliefs are sometimes just referred to as the faith. We refer to it as the Christian faith or just the faith. The Christian religion is a faith because it believes in something supernatural or beyond the human experience. So obviously, it does require faith for us to walk in the things of God. But the thing about religion is that it can be defined so widely. If you agree with the main points of religion and tend to see things the way that religion does, then you're a part of the faith. If you were raised in a religious home and you hold some of those beliefs that you had from your parents, then you're part of the group. When it comes to Christianity, if you believe in Jesus and you have some concept of the God of the Bible, then you're in the club, right? If you get teary-eyed at Christian songs or during Christmas and Easter, then you must be part of the faith, right? There's some people who think, I must be a Christian because that song made me cry. Am I right? Come on now. If you attend church periodically and try to live a good and nice life, you are a five-star Christian. And here's the thing. Some people are excited about that. That's right. And this is compared, when you think about it, this is compared to those who are faithful Bible readers, people who read their Bible every day, they pray, they share their faith, they are faithful attenders of church, they raise their kids to follow after Jesus Christ, they serve in ministry, and ministry is not just something they do on Sunday, but ministry is a part of their life. And it's also compared to those who have given their lives to work on the mission field or the foreign mission field in order to advance the kingdom and the gospel. And some have even been martyred because of their faith. This is a large group of people that seem to fly under the flag of Christianity. Am I right? You have those who have at least a concept of God that will say, I'm Christian because they like that one better than everyone else. And then you have those who have literally given their lives in martyrdom in following after Christ. And all of these people fly under the flag of Christianity. These are all considered people of faith. Now, don't get me wrong. It's not my place to judge. It's not my place to judge where your faith is or who you are or what level necessarily you're walking at. The fact is we're all in different places in our journey of faith. We're all in different places in our growth. It's not fair for us to expect everyone to be on the same level all the time, right? We're all growing, we're all going somewhere, we're all doing something in which we are trying to find our way to God, trying to follow after what Jesus Christ has for us. But the Bible does seem to make clear that true faith is not just a set of beliefs. It is not just an emotional attachment to the faith of our parents or the place we go when we need some kind of comfort. Don't get me wrong. Of course we run to God when we need comfort. We run to God when we need peace. We run to God when we need strength. But true faith is not just mental agreement with creeds and statements of faith. And true faith is not about our own goodness or how nice we are. Although faith will make you nice. Some of you who aren't nice, I question your faith, right? Right? Our faith obviously should make that kind of difference in our life. It's not just a statement. It's not just a creed. How many of you know the Apostles' Creed? Being raised in a denominational church, does anybody know the Apostles' Creed? We used to stand and say the Apostles' Creed at church, and it's a very powerful creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived of the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. On the third day, he rose from the grave. He descended into hell and ascended to the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. It's a powerful creed. The thing is, it can be like the alphabet, right? We've learned the alphabet, A, B, C, D. But that doesn't change my life, right? True faith is living faith. And you know, there's something about living up to your name, right? Your reputation obviously precedes you. All right, people, when people hear about you, even if you're a company, your reputation, your name is a big deal. I mean, you can actually, trademark your name. Your name actually has value, goodwill value to it. You can actually sell your name, or you hold it as value to you. Your name means something. You know, as a Thomas, there are certain people that know the Thomases, right? And so the Thomases have a certain name about them. Are you part of the crazy Thomases? Are you part of the sane Thomases? What Thomas are you? Everybody has this idea of what your name is or what it means, right? And so people look at your name and you have a certain reputation to it, and we want to represent it well. So how we live points to our name. Well, folks, we are Living Faith Church. I don't know if you knew that or not. We are Living Faith Church. That's an audacious claim. We gathered here this morning in this building because we think we're living faith. Who do you think you are? But we aren't just Faith Church, are we? We're not just Faith Church. All these little faith churches out there, they're just not quite living up to it. We are living faith. We don't just have faith. Our faith is alive. Man, we need to live up to our name. We need to live up to our name, and we should wear it well. I remember D. James Kennedy told a story about Alexander the Great, and he had a general that was over a troop, and he had gone into battle, and this general got scared and decided to retreat. The army was beaten very badly, and they retreated back to where Alexander the Great was, and Alexander the Great called his general into his throne room area to speak with him, and come to find out the general's name also was Alexander. And so he calls Alexander, the general, before him, and he asks him, "Why did you retreat?" And he said, "Well, you know, sir, we were outnumbered, we were overmatched, my men were afraid, we were frightened, we were going to lose our lives, so we retreated." And he said, "We don't retreat in this army." And then he told his general, he said, "Sir, either change your conduct or change your name. Because I don't want you to have the same name as me." We need to live up to the name that God has placed upon us. I know last week I talked about how crazy sports fans are, but sports fans are just like that. They're very wide and varied. You have kind of two ends of the spectrum when it comes to sports fans. You have the radical ones that own every form of clothing that you can possibly have that has their team on it. They've got every picture, every pennant. They paint their face. They show up at games when it's 2 degrees with their chest painted. You know, you have these wild fans that they don't miss a game, even if it means they're going to end up divorced. And they will defend their team to the death, even if their team declared war on the United States of America. And then you have the fair weather fan. You have the fair, these are the ones, they'll scream the loudest. They'll tell everyone how right they were about how good their team is until their team's not good anymore. And then they'll tell you how right they were about how bad their team was. I told you they weren't worth anything. Right? They'll turn on a dime when things go wrong. So they are fans as long as everything's going well. You know anybody like that? Oh, man, we're there, right? We're there. It's just like, you know, West Virginia basketball is doing really well right now. They're probably going to end up ranked number 3 in the country because number 2 lost, number 4 lost, and number 5 lost. So West Virginia may move all the way up to number 3. So you've got all these Mountaineer fans that all of a sudden have come out of the woodwork. I waited too long because back in December, I was looking at tickets to possibly buy for Logan and I to go up and watch a game. You know, and there were still some pretty good tickets for $30, $35. I got one there like a couple weeks ago. Well, they've all went up to like 80. Why? Because now everybody's buying tickets. They all waited around to see if they won. Oh, so they're doing well. Let's buy some tickets. Unfortunately, there are a lot of fair weather Christians. Those who make God of faith and faith a priority in their life when they need it or when things are going too badly, as long as following Christ isn't inconvenient or if it doesn't involve some sort of hardship. Many times they too easily abandon the reality of their faith, not only in hardship, but they forget to recognize the blessings of the good times in life. But the Bible is emphatic that faith is supposed to be lived out. A faith that does not affect the way that you live may just be mental agreement with creeds, but it is not true biblical living faith. Living faith will affect how you see the world, how you see other people, how you react to your spouse, to your children, how you do your job. It affects everything that you do. This is living faith. It's not just a set of creeds that says, yes, I believe in God. Yes, I believe in Jesus. Yes, I believe in the Holy Spirit. It is more than just saying what we believe in our head. It should have changed who we are as a people and affect how we live. The word living is not only an adjective describing true biblical faith, but it's a verb that tells us what faith is supposed to be doing. It not only describes what kind of faith we're supposed to have, but it tells us that we're supposed to be living that faith. It tells us what we're supposed to do. There are 4 definitions of living that I wanted to point out here. First of all, living means that it matters. If something is living, it has life, it exists, it has value simply because it's not dead or dormant. When we say that something's dead to us, it's not really that it has ceased to exist, but that it doesn't matter to us anymore. So living faith is a faith that matters. It matters in every area of our life. It has not become dead to us because it is important to us. Our faith should be our priority. Number 2, living also means that it's active. Anything that is alive has activity and it produces something. A living faith is a faith that has action. James tells us that faith without works is what? Dead. Being alone. Faith without works is dead. If you don't have some type of action with your faith, James even said, you can tell me that you have faith, but I'll show you my faith. I'll show you what my faith looks like. Faith without works doesn't matter. It doesn't produce, and it is not real saving faith. James even told them in the 2nd chapter of James, go read it. Go read it. If you see someone in need and you turn them away and say, bless you, have a nice day, hope you make it. I love God, but you're getting on my nerves, right? If this is our attitude towards people, then James says, you have not experienced saving faith. Now, it's not that our works save us. It's not that our activity saves us. It's not that what we do saves us. We are saved by grace through faith. But the Bible is telling us that if we are saved, then our faith should have works. Faith is active. It produces the fruit of the Spirit. It is evident in our lives. A lack of the fruit of the Spirit in our life is a lack of walking in faith. Number 3, living can be defined as burning or glowing, like coal or something that you catch on fire. Real faith will burn and glow. Faith is supposed to be seen. I don't care what anybody tells us. I don't care what the media says. I don't care what people around us say. Your faith is not supposed to be just a private matter. Our faith is supposed to be on display. People should see our faith. They should see our faith in action. Our faith should be fervent and glowing and burning with the passion for God. This is not a weak-kneed hope we can make it to the other side faith. This is a faith that says we believe in a risen, conquering Christ. We believe in a gospel that still saves the lost. We believe in a God that still heals the sick, that still does miracles if we will believe. We still believe in a God that can change the world, and He's chosen to use us as His people, but we must glow. We must burn. Number four, living can also be defined as flowing freely, like water. True living faith is something that should flow freely from our hearts and lives, which that means our faith should not be some type of forced, legalistic keeping of rules and laws. Our faith should not be something that just is held over our heads as though if we don't keep it, you know, you're going to go to hell. I know there are a lot of people that have gotten saved because they're afraid of hell. And honestly, I don't blame you. I don't want to go to hell either. So, I mean, I understand that that's a reality. Heaven and hell are real. Eternity is a long time. And so we recognize, man, that's a motivation. But the problem is the fear of hell will wear off. We start thinking about something else. We get our minds on something else. We're no longer afraid of it, and so we end up walking away from God. And it's unfortunate that there are some people that the only reason why they stay saved is because they're afraid of an eternity separated from God. But flowing freely faith, living faith, comes out of a heart that's been captured by God. Folks, if you've truly been captured by God, thank God you've been rescued from hell, but it's so much more than that. It's a relationship with the Creator of the universe. It's knowing Him and having a relationship with Him. So faith, living faith, flows freely. And it should flow freely from a heart that has experienced the true life change that comes from faith. We aren't talking about just a set of beliefs or creeds. We're not just talking about words, folks. Living faith is life-changing faith. It's a faith that should be lived out. The scripture here said, the just shall live by faith. They live by faith. They don't just find faith. They don't just have faith. They don't just receive things by faith. They live by faith. Their everyday life is affected by faith. And it is this faith that has great reward. This is the faith that Hebrews says receives what has been promised. So what does living faith do? There are four things I want to share with you that living faith does. Number one, living faith leans. Living faith finds its source in God and in His Word. Our faith is not what really matters. Now, I say that after I just said that living faith matters. But lots of times we put so much emphasis on our faith, how big our faith is, how strong our faith is. I think I told you one time, somebody told me they had an unbelievable amount of faith. I have so much faith, I can't even have faith in my faith. I don't even believe in my faith. It's so unbelievable. Man, that's an unattainable faith. Nobody can have faith that they can't believe in. I've got an unbelievable amount of faith. Well, then you've got a low amount of faith. I can't even believe in my own faith. But it's not your faith. It's not just our faith that really, it's the one in whom we place our trust and faith in. Because we can have faith in people, but how many of you know people will fail us? You know, there are some of us in here, we always see the best in people. And then there are some of you here in here that always know that there's something under the surface. Right? No matter how much we want to love people or reach out to people or care about people, there's always something in the back of your mind that says, what is going on here? Right? You want to take me out to dinner? Why? Why? What do you want from me? There's always this feeling. But I mean, really, we put our faith in people. We put our trust in people. We put our trust in organizations. We put our trust in businesses. We put our trust in things all the time. But we know that this world does not always come through with what they promise. Things are not always what they seem. People let us down. This world is going to let us down, but I can promise you, if you will put your faith in God, put your trust in God, He will never let you down. He will never fail you. Amen. When faith learns to lean, it understands what it means to trust. And this is really the biblical definition of faith. Most of the time when we talk about faith, we talk about believing God for something that we're praying for. And obviously that takes faith. If we're going to believe and ask God to heal us, we have to stand on the promises of God. We have to believe God for our healing and confess the Word of God. Those are elements of faith. But true biblical faith is defined as trust. It's the wholehearted throwing of our entire selves into the hands of God. It is taking our life and placing it in the hands of God and saying, Lord, I believe that you'll do what's best for me even when I don't understand, even when I can't see what's happening. I've learned to lean. Amen. How many of you have ever been getting on a plane and somebody says, be careful. Be careful doing what? Walking down the aisle? Putting my seatbelt on, I've got no control over this tin can flying 35,000 feet in the air at 500 miles an hour. My life is in the hands of that pilot whom I've never met. I know nothing about. He could be drunk up there as far as I know. But I'm just sitting back here with my headphones on. Trusting that the plane doesn't fall apart. Trusting that birds don't get sucked up in the engine. Right? We put our trust in planes and pilots that we don't even know. But living faith recognizes that I'm going to place my life in the hands of a God whom I know is faithful, that I know is good, that I know keeps His word and keeps His promises, that when He speaks, He does what He says He will do. So faith leans into the protection of God. It leans into the refuge of God, understanding that when we don't know, we still know. Number two, living faith means that it learns. Faith only grows by knowledge. It grows, the Bible says, by the hearing of the Word of God, but it also grows by experience, and it grows by use. Amen. Some of us, our faith is not as strong as it should be because we're not using it. If you don't use your muscles, they atrophy. They stop working the way that they're supposed to work. They don't carry the weight that they used to carry. They're unable to do what they were able to do before if you don't work them, if you don't use them. So yes, faith comes by the Word. It comes by hearing the Word. But if you don't ever act on the Word, then your faith is still not going to grow. Amen. How many of you know that you have told your kids many, many things, but they've not always done them? And it's not you've preached some pretty good sermons at your children, right? But it's not your sermon that changed the situation. It's when they actually acted on the sermon. It's not when you say amen, and you're allowed to say amen. I know somebody, I'm going to say amen again. But it's not just when we say amen. Amen, that's a good word, Pastor. Amen, amen. What'd he say? I don't know, but amen. Somebody else said amen, so I said amen. Huh? Some of you have nodded off and came out of the nod off saying amen. You don't even know what you heard. Yeah. Right, amen. I won't mention any names, but I remember there was one service that someone went to say yes and amen at the same time, and it came out as yes men. Yes men! But faith learns. Faith's always learning. It's always learning God's word. It's learning how to trust in times of difficulty. It's learning how to adjust through experience and circumstances. You know, God blesses us. His hand is upon our life. He wants the best for our life, but we all know that life isn't always fair. Things don't always turn out the way we thought they were going to turn out. As long as this planet is full of people, there are always going to be problems. You're always going to run into issues. Decisions that we make put us in places that we wish we weren't. People in our life will hurt us, abuse us, betray us. The world is not for us, folks. And so faith recognizes that when the circumstances change, God does not. That when my situation is changing, God does not. That God is not loving me because of the job I have or the relationships I'm in. That God's not loving me because of how creative I am or how what ability I have or what gifts I have. God loved me while I was yet a sinner. God loves me because He is love. And because I know that He loves, I can learn through experience and circumstances that He's there. Faith's always learning, always pressing in to know more of God, more of His character, more of His ways. Faith has learned that God's promises are true and that His commandments are what brings life. We like to talk about the promises of God, but we leave the commandments of God out. But it's the keeping of the commandments that make them promises. Do you hear what I'm saying? The commandments of God become promises when we keep them. When we walk in obedience to God is where we find the greatest of blessings. And I've said many times before, folks, we think we know what makes us happy, but God knows what brings us the most joy. What if God is right? Anybody ever thought of that? What if He's actually right? What if the Bible is actually true? That's what we preach here. That's what we say amen to. But what if God is right when He says forgiving your enemies is actually the best way to live? Oh, well, surely. He wasn't talking to me. Right? What if God is actually right in saying, hey, if you will walk in purity and holiness, it will bring you the most joy? Well, surely God's not talking about that we're supposed to be pure in our sex life, that I'm not supposed to look at porn. Surely. Surely that's not what God's talking about. He kind of is. What if God's right? What if God's saying walking in love is what's going to bring not only the most glory to God, but the most joy to you? And folks, that's what brings God the most glory, is that which brings you the most joy. We look at the commandments as though, oh, God, you don't want me. I can't do this, and I can't do that, and I can't. And God says, I'm just trying to tell you, if you'll live this way, you'll know more peace, more joy, more satisfaction, more fulfillment than doing it your way. Amen. Sin has pleasure for a season, but it will pass away. What if God's right? If we learn, if we grow in faith, then we're always learning. We're learning God's word. We are shaping our life to fit His word. Faith leans, faith learns. Number three, living faith laughs. There's an unexplainable joy that comes with the life of faith. Living faith does not throw away its confidence because it knows that it has great reward. And this allows us to rejoice even when we don't have it yet. This passage here said, don't cast away your confidence. It has great recompense of reward. But you have need of patience. You have need of endurance. You have need of perseverance, that after you've done the will of God, then you might receive the promise. We don't always see what God is doing. We don't always have in our hands what we are praying about. But faith still rejoices because it knows it has great recompense of reward. If I don't cast away my confidence in God, if I don't cast away my confidence in God's promise, then you will receive a great recompense of reward. Come on, some of you have lost your confidence while watching a sports game, and you've turned it off. Come on now, am I right? You've turned it off, haven't you? You've walked away. You may as well repent and confess it now. I'm just kidding. We've done it. We got mad. We've walked away. The other day, West Virginia was playing. I came in, and the score was like 2-0. I said, all right, turn it off. It's 2-0, and we're losing. We lose our confidence. We do the same thing in life. We lose our confidence, and so we lay off what we were pursuing to the side. We had a dream, we had a plan, we had a goal in life, but then we lose our confidence and we lay it off to the side, and then it leads to depression and it leads to discouragement and it leads to an attitude that I can't make it, I'm never going to accomplish what I've come to accomplish. And folks, I'm telling you, don't let go of your confidence. Don't let go of your faith, because faith will rejoice in the beauty and the majesty and the power of God. And it laughs at circumstances and it laughs at devils that try to hold us back. You can stand by faith and smile like some goofy looking person in the middle of the fight, in the middle of the battle. People can look at you and say, what's wrong with that guy? That's a guy, that's a man of faith, that's a woman of faith. They're still lifting their hands, they're still worshiping, they're still praising, they're still thanking God, they're still reading their Bible, they're still praying and giving and serving and walking, but they're facing hell and they're still smiling. Why? Because faith laughs. It laughs at the work of God. It smiles in the middle of circumstances. It smiles in the middle of situations that are not going your way. Because why? Faith has great recompense of reward. So I'm going to hold on to my faith. Because you know where faith's going to get me? It's going to get me in heaven. He that endures to the end, we talked about last week. He that endures to the end, the same shall be saved. I'm going to continue to believe. Number four, living faith lasts. Endurance and faith go together. And it's with endurance that we reap the benefits of our daily walk of faith. This real living faith doesn't give up easy. This passage of Scripture calls it drawing back unto perdition, or perdition is just destruction. Drawing back, or some translations call it shrinking back. Their faith is growing smaller. It's shrinking. Instead of their faith getting bigger, their faith is getting smaller. It's shrinking, and because of that, they draw back. And where do they draw back to? They draw back to destruction. They draw back to defeat. They draw back to separation. And, you know, once we make a decision to follow passionately after God, there's always going to be the option to shrink back, to draw back. Anytime we step out by faith and decide that we're going to do something for the kingdom of God, there's always going to be the option to shrink, to draw back, to go back to doing it the way we used to do it. But real living faith does not draw back, it perseveres. And the Bible says that the reward of it is the saving of our souls. There's a lot that you can do to someone with living faith, but one thing is certain. At the end of the day, they're still standing. Hallelujah. You can push them, shove them, talk about them, mock them. You can attack them, put them down. You can tell them that they're not going to make it, that they're not going to do it. You can hear somebody tell you, you know, my Aunt Edna had the same thing you had, and she died 3 days later. They're going to tell you everything. Right? Here's what happens when somebody's got living faith. At the end of the day, when the dust settles and everybody else is gone, they're still standing. They're still standing. And they're still smiling. They're still smiling. They're learning and they're leaning and they're laughing because they know that God is good. They know that God is faithful. They know that God's promises and God's commandments are true. Why? Living faith produces faithfulness. Living faith produces faithfulness. A lack of faithfulness indicates a simple lack of faith. This is a long faithfulness we've been called to, church. A long faithfulness. This is a long walk to heaven. This is a long walk to the promises of God. This is not a sprint. This is not a drive-through faith. This is not a microwave faith. This is a long faithfulness that God has called us to. And we all know that there are people that were on this journey with us, and we can look around and they are not here any longer. And it's not because the Lord took them to heaven. They gave up. They quit. They fell by the wayside. They shrank. They drew back. Because faith produces faithfulness. And a lack of faithfulness is simply a sign of a lack of faith. We live by faith, not we occasionally experience faith. We live by faith. And I can tell you this much, church, if you are living from experience to experience, if you are living from church service to church service, you're not going to make it. You're not going to make it. You can't have the same experience all the time. You can't come to church and, well, if God will make me feel all fuzzy again like he did last Sunday, I'll make it. Right? If the pastor will pray on me, if they'll lay hands on me, if they'll speak words over me, if they'll lather me with oil and I get filled with the Spirit and fall on the floor and roll around, then I'll make it. No, you'll make it by day living of faith. A day-by-day faithfulness that goes from the feel-good moments of church services or times of personal worship. It'll go from the feeling good to the battle, to the fight, to the times where God feels like he's a million miles away. But faithfulness keeps trotting. It keeps walking. It keeps pushing. It keeps going. It keeps fighting. Even when it snows. Amen. So a new year has come. A new year has come. And we need to take a look at our faith. The Bible actually says, examine ourselves whether we be in the faith. And the beginning of the year could be a good time to do a faith checkup. Amen. To check up on our faith. Yes. Is our faith living? Is our faith flowing freely? Is it coming from our hearts? Is it active? Is it a faith that has learned how to lean and learn and laugh? And last, the challenge is to start this new year in faith, to live in faith, to walk in faith, to receive by faith, to stand in faith. And we will live victoriously through this year if we hold fast to our confidence, which means we have to mix faith and endurance. We have to mix faith and perseverance because God is faithful. Did you know that the Bible actually says that even while we are faithless, he remains faithful still because he cannot deny himself? You serve a God who keeps his word. You serve a God that the Bible says that he has exalted his word above his name, which means that his name is worthless if he does not keep his word. He has exalted his word above his name, and he will keep his promises. God will be faithful. You will be hurt in this year. You will be wounded in this year. You will fight battles in this year. You will get bad reports this year. You will go through hard times this year. Congratulations. Are you going to have good days? You sure are. Are you going to have good months? You bet. This may be one of the best years you've ever had, but that does not mean you're not going to go through some fights. You're not going to go through some battles. You're not going to face some devils because you surely are. But when you hold on to your faith, there is great recompense of reward.